Ian, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I am Kevin Walter, the host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, depository service. I will apologize ahead of time. I've been battling kind of a pretty cruddy sinus thing or whatever, nasal thing, and I get it. I seem to get it every year around this time, so it's kind of messing with my voice. So bear with me there. Coins Plus has been in business 27 years. We are a full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. That means we pretty much do it all in the coin business. We have everything. We do deal in everything. I mean, we don't, you know, I mean, there's coin-wise anyway. Coins, diamonds, precious metals, all that stuff is our forte. We really specialize in portfolios. And the one thing I can tell you folks is in all honesty, for an outfit that does what we do, there's not another one in the nation like it. Even some of these big guys you hit when you're on the internet, you know, and we see, like, you know, our dollar prices or whatever it is are better than theirs. But in addition to that, when they sell you something, I mean, we see a lot of, like, dollar rolls that come from them. And they're always have, you know, if they're supposed to be AU, which means almost uncirculated, they'll have four coins in there that are just wire brushed junk. And, you know, there's just a lot of that stuff goes on. Everything we do is super to the T, graded right, completely accurate. We hand select things. We know what we're doing when we put together portfolios. We always provide non-taxable or non-1099-able products in the gold standard anyway. And, you know, there's stuff like that with silver too. You can, you know, when you get legal tender and all that. But we provide all that stuff. That's what we recommend, and that's what we put in portfolios. We usually balance larger portfolios out pretty well. You know, the bigger they get, the higher the percentage of gold-based objects, products. And then, you know, of course, there's the silver part of it. And then we get into, you know, semi-numismatic, the silver dollars, the, you know, there's a bunch of different things. And gold, when we have the pre-33 stuff available, we do that too. I'm telling you what, folks, the stuff's getting really, really hard to get. It's just, it's such a massive shortage, it's not even explicable. I mean, it's just that nuts. And you can't imagine how the quantities that are being consumed by central banks is just out of the world. It's absolutely crazy. More than ever before, and I was reading today, that one thing that is really messy with the markets is the central banks manipulate prices while they're loading up. They're literally loading up. They're buying more than ever before, ever in history. And they're keeping the prices, they're going up, don't get me wrong, but they're not letting it break. And there's a lot of talk, today the Fed raised interest rates another half. I mean, folks, this is crazy. And then you get all these experts, you know, oh, it's going to do this and that. Well, supposedly their target is, it's so ridiculous. You know, right now, the base Fed rate's like 5. That doesn't sound too bad, but that's the base Fed rate. Prime rate, you know, is higher than that. And then when you get a mortgage that's on a variable or even a fixed rate, it's based on prime rate plus whatever, because prime rate is technically the cost of funds to a lender, and it depends on the size of the loan, because it can be more than prime plus. It's always prime plus something to them, and then they plus it up to you and me. You're going to be seeing 9 and 10% interest rates a lot here. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. The amount of debt that this country holds, I cannot believe. I swear This is such an orchestrated mess. I think that literally they're going to cause absolute complete... I think they're going to cause a complete riot. So a former advisor to the International Monetary Fund and a member of President Clinton's Council of Economic Advisors was one of the few mainstream economists to predict the collapse of the housing bubble in 2008. You know, he was one of the few on the left. And now he's warning that the staggering amounts of debt held by individuals, businesses, and the government will soon lead to the mother of all economic crises. And I actually quoted this guy back before the 08 crash. He's a government economist. I mean, it's just common sense. There's a lot of things that, defy common sense, defy math, defy economics. In the late 90s, when the dot-com craze was just going wildfire, they came up with new economics, okay? So they made up, well, in the mid-90s, whatever, they made up, they said, well, this doesn't fit any of our mathematical economic parameters, so we're creating a new philosophical type theory that I guess we're wrong. Well, supply and demand always holds true. But what was going on back in the 90s was the all this money started coming in for the first time from overseas. If you're as old as I am, you remember it was all Japan's going to, do this, Japan's doing that. Now it's China, but now it's really stinking serious. China's got a whole different set of priorities coming after us. They're not, China... Japan was just, capitalizing, making money in our markets. China is doing a lot more. They're looking to run us off the tracks, run us off the rail. They want to take our country over. You have to realize that in full. There's movies, like I said, on videos like on Epic Times, The Final War. That stuff will wake you up. I mean, people have to get up every day in that country by the millions and stand in line to take their daily COVID test. And this has been going on forever, and they won't quit. It's just absolute complete control. We had all those protesters and the idiot, anything that our media tells you, you just think the opposite. They're like, China's going to have to just acknowledge these people, and they know that the world sees them, so they're not going to retaliate. They're probably going to make concessions. And then, days later, they're like, China's, going door to door, literally hauling all these protesters off. They have their pictures from, all kinds of facial recognition. They have that country surveilled so much, you can't even believe it. It's almost fictional how much surveillance they have. And they track everyone. They've got everyone's face, everyone's thumb, fingerprints, everyone's, retinal scans. I mean, you are not free there at all. And they destroy you. I mean, they do the things they do. It's hard to even believe, but they actually do like live organ harvesting. I mean, I don't even know what that means. And, it's terrible. I mean, I think they literally set up deals where, I guess I do know what it means. They will literally take someone some general or whatever that needs a heart. They'll grab a guy out of prison that has the heart he needs, and they'll literally put the guy on the table, put him under anesthesia all the way, and then cut out his heart while he's technically alive and kill him. Isn't that awful? Yes, it is. Liver, same thing. I mean, it's just the things they do they're just inhumane, to put it lightly. They're unfathomable. And we don't get the media, our media, especially like the New York Times, has always supported the evil villains in the world. The Hitlers and the Stalins and, Zhang King Dong Ding Dong over in North Korea, whatever it is, Kim Jong-il or whatever his name is. They're always supporting these guys, you know? Why? Why are they always on the side of our enemies? I don't get that. I mean, it's Satan, it's the devil, it's the dark side. It's where the Bible said that Satan is the prince and power of the air. If you think about it, that is a really bizarre prophetical statement, because that was written long before we had any kind of airwaves, and it doesn't make sense without airwaves, I guess, from my perspective, you know, from where I'm coming from. But he's got some serious control, and you just need to be praying really hard and being really smart. We're seeing a lot of people making some really brilliant moves with their money. We had, you know, Mr. Sam Bankman-Fried, who got arrested the other day. But he's the guy that had FTX, the huge cyber coin or crypto coin index fund or whatever it was. You know, call it whatever you want. It's bankrupt and empty, $40 billion. And he was just a kind of a chubby, real feminine looking weirdo kid. And then he said he's polyamorous. So all these people that were running the company, stealing your money, were living together in the Bahamas and having sex with each other because they're polyamorous. That means poly in, what is it, Latin or whatever, it means many, and amorous, lovers. They're many lovers. They're such sophisticated people. And the guy's just gross, and it's just unbelievable. But here's what's interesting. He was, you know, I'm sure you know about it by now, but he had the biggest fund in the world, and he was a superhero. The dude was worth $40 billion. I mean, think of that. That's pretty swankin'. He had some stuff. He was the number two donor to the Democratic Party. I think he thought he was buying people off. He probably was, because here's what's interesting. The Democrats wanted to have a hearing today with him. And yesterday, they arrested, or well, whatever day it was. Yeah, yesterday I think they arrested him, or the day before. But they arrested him, maybe the hearing started yesterday. I don't know. But the point is, they arrested him a day before the hearing started. Why would you suppose that'd be? More of their left-wing cover-up conspiracy stuff. They're, you know, if he's the number two contributor to the Democratic Party, and then he says all these stupid things. He went to the Bahamas and he's in the Bahamas, and he started to talk on, like, YouTube and saying all this stuff, how, well, he didn't just give to the Democrats, he said. He gave to Republicans, too, but he only gave in what he called dark money. Well, that, you know what that is. That's money that's, you know, not reported, not traceable, probably cryptocurrency. Is it true? You know? And if it is, what an idiot. So guess what they're doing now? They're charging him. One of the charges is money laundering, because he's doing that kind of stuff. He's hiding money, sliding money out. They don't know how much stuff he's got. And he's such a dork. After he announces he's filing bankruptcy, before things were shut down, they got hacked. $500 million got taken. Untraceable. That's actually verified. These guys are like children living in a fraternity. Their whole board of governance was like a fraternity. It was a bunch of kids. And in the hearings, I think today or yesterday, whatever, he's a pathological liar. I mean, he wasn't there, but they had the hearings without him. Imagine that. And and it just comes out that he's just an absolute pathological liar. He's been lying all along. It was a huge Ponzi scheme, and he was such an insensitive child. I don't think he just didn't know. Well, obviously, when to quit, number one, and number two, you know, how to do things the right way. That's one thing, too, folks. Money that comes the right way, that's earned, you have a lot more respect, you know, and God says that, you know, when you earn your money, it's worth something. When it's given to you, and by the way, if you have people in your life giving you stuff, force yourself to really, really, really be appreciative and express that appreciation. And more than once, you know, just really think about, I mean, if it's really something special or amounts of money that matter or items, you know what I mean? Make sure you're super grateful. The Bible talks all the time, too, about when you pray. It always says, you know, ask whatever you want, da-da-da-da-da. But it's always like with gratitude, with thanksgiving. You have to have a spirit of gratitude, and that gets expressed prominently, you know, in your everyday life. It's got to be, it's a spirit that permeates you all the time. It's not something you just do when you're praying. You want to have gratitude all the time. Our existence on this earth is a phenomenal gift, and we take it as a baseline notion, and the problem really is when we have situations like our government, which basically was here to provide for us the ability to maximize our God relationship with Him and the creation, with the Creator and the creation, it's now being robbed from us, absolutely stolen by the radical left wing, which includes Republicans too. I've talked about Mitch McConnell, you know, the Speaker of the Senate or the Majority Leader, and he's like, you know, and he just babbles stuff. He's the most sold-out rhino. He's married, not that it's racist, but it is probably, but he's married to a gal who's directly connected to China. He's got businesses in China. He has business interests in China. The Democrat Party loves him. We're in a lame duck session. There's no reason. He just passed this huge omnibus bill, should be called ominous. And when he talked, he's like, blah, 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 blah. You know, it should have some good stuff in it. Blah, 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 blah. And he didn't even know what's in it. He hadn't even read it. That stuff started with Nancy Pelosi and the Obamacare fiasco. And this is the new thing. They're pounding out money, folks, like you can't even imagine. It's so out of control. So back to what I was saying about that prediction, you know, of what's coming down, and I'll kind of go through some thoughts here, but glasses for daddy. So the basic problem with our economy, and the reason it's permanently doomed, there is no way out, period, because of the creation of our debt-based economy. And now, which is the Federal Reserve System, and now we were on the near or at zero interest rate with that quantitative easing policies that the pursued by the Federal Reserve, if you remember that garbage, they just pour money, more money, more money, more money, more money, and it's not even money, it's rubbish, you know. The simple definition of inflation is an increase in the money supply. It's the most true, nasty tax that you truly pay, because your buying power, your dollar, is constantly being shrunk and soaked and taken out all the time. The dollar amounts that these guys do now, it's just like, I mean, it's just pure madness. That's all I can say. There's no rhyme or reason to it. It's just like these big candy apple bills that, you know, they're out of control. I mean, there's just no limit to it. A lot of these spending, you know, a lot of Biden spending hasn't officially hit the deficit yet. But, you know, we're pushing $32 trillion now all of a sudden, and he got in at 20 whatever, 4. I don't even know anymore. It's just obnoxious. You know, Obama spent, well, depends on where you draw the line. if you count the money that he pushed through for the financial bailout before he became a president. You know, it's crazy how those lefties just want the government to pour out money. It's terrible because it's simply not their money. It's not real money, but it's specifically to get votes. I don't know if you've paid attention, but depending on the numbers you hear, right now, in Title 42 is about to expire. Title 42 is where they can turn people away without, you know, refugee status and all this, which they don't. But it'll get way worse because they won't be able to do anything. 14,000 to 16,000 illegal immigrants per day that we know of are crossing our border. That we know of. Do you realize how significant this is? I was talking to a relative a while ago, and we have a customer who works for the CBP, the Customs and Border Patrol. He's a high-ranking official, and he goes from the southern border to the northern border. He does a rotate. He runs the whole thing. And he comes in our shop and buys cool stuff. And he was telling me back, I don't know when it was, that he was basically telling me all the numbers were wrong, and that I can't even remember the numbers he was giving me. And I was talking to a relative, and she was like, no, look at Google. Look what Google says. Well, and now these numbers, all of a sudden, we're starting to see about the exact numbers. Because he was saying that there was 5 million people a year coming through, and now they're starting to acknowledge it. I don't know why, they're saying, the surges are getting bigger. But if you take 15,000 a day times 365, that's 5.5 million people a year that we know of. That doesn't count legal immigrants. And that doesn't count people that fly in and overstay their visas. You're talking, you got over 1 million. I think we allow a couple million immigrants a year for legal status. So that would put right now at 7.5 million. And then you've got, the overstayed visas, whatever. So that puts you at 8 million plus a year. Folks, that's like a lot. This country has 300 million people, supposedly. Do you know how many people 8 million people a year is? I mean, the actual city of like Los Angeles, I don't even think has that many people. Let me look at this. The largest cities in America, living in America. Okay, here we go. Man, I type a lot. Okay, so number one is New York City with 8.9 million people. The biggest city in the U.S., the location of Mystery Babylon, happens to be the size of the immigrants coming to this country per year right now. The second largest is L.A. at 3.9 million. I mean, that's less. That's half of the immigrants coming in. And it's in L.A., in L.A., folks, that's a big packed area. I've been there many times. New York's unfathomable. They have to have, floors stacked 100 stories high. That's New York City, not New York State. That's just the city. And you got to remember, in that area, there's like 26 million draw because you got, the Bronx and Queens and whatever it is. I don't know, but tons of areas around there. It's a lot. So we are doomed. I mean, I guess you just come to terms and you prepare yourself. I really believe that the collapse of the trade towers was Mystery Babylon. And I'll say it again. Revelation 17 and 18, I'll tell you, I need to go over it again. It's unequivocal. There's no question. It is. makes complete and total sense. There's not one scripture that contradicts it. So then, before that, the angel in Revelation 14, I think it is, says that, well, the first angel comes out and blows the trump, and that was the angel who was responsible. There's three angels there, I think. That was the angel that was responsible for what I, you know, making sure or whatever, either maybe professing the time or announcing the time or making sure things happened a certain way so that everyone on earth could potentially have access to the gospel. So there was no, you know, excuse. Now, you got to understand, you can argue, well, there's the guy in the mountains of the Himalayas who, you know, he never brushed his teeth. And yeah, he probably exists. But, you know, Christ said, my sheep will hear my voice. That's between him and God. God deals with those things his own way. We always get hung up on those little anomalies, don't we? But, you know, and there's a lot of good philosophical. Our God is a good, loving, and just God. He won't do anything that is not just and loving. I mean, casting people into hell is not very loving, but it's just. But it's not unloving because it's based on what the Bible tells us is the only unforgivable sin, which is blaspheming the Spirit. You have to reject, in my belief, the acceptance of Christ to get there. I you know, you have to have been introduced to him and chose not to choose him. That's my belief. And that doesn't matter. I know there's, you know, arguments about, you know, well, okay, here's how God's word is spread and all that. And yeah, that's fine. That actually, you know, is all true. But it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He's the gatekeeper. He's the master. That's between him and those people. And if you're worried about someone, as much as it's in your power, I suppose you share the gospel with them and then you don't have to worry about them anymore. But the problem is, if you're listening to me right now, you already probably know Christ, so you got to worry about your own walk, you know. And your own walk should include sharing the gospel with others too. So, but that's enough about that. So our immigration is off the charts right now. Well, and it's crazy. And our deficit, our total debt, you know, the U.S. debt clock's just, it's just in uncharted territory. There's never been anything like this in history. Nothing. Obviously, you're like, well, duh, Kevin, you know, no one else had dollars. No, I mean, even GDPs, you know, anything relative. This is the largest explosive train wreck financially in the history of the world. This is as we are walking into the end times. The Bible tells us things are going to get so expensive. But you notice, like, in the Bible where it says a loaf of bread for an ephah or whatever, it doesn't say that anything about gold there, which I'm not saying it means that gold doesn't exist, but what I think it is he's talking about currency, you know? Well, obviously, he's talking about currency. I'll see if there's any chance I can find this. Let's see. Someone actually was named Ephah. Exodus, the 10th part of it. Okay, here we go. Leviticus. 10th of an ephah for flying flour. What is this? But if you can't afford to, oh, well, here are a bunch of laws and regs. Lots of ephahs there. Now we got numbers. That's not prophecy. Chronicles, Ezekiel. That's where it's going to be. Or Isaiah. For 10 acres of vineyard shall yield but one bath, and a home of seed shall yield but an ephah. What is that? That's pretty bad. The Lord of tests, the Lord of hosts has sworn in my hearing. Surely many houses shall be desolate, large and beautiful houses without inhabitants. Let's see. I'm seeing what came before. Anyway, for 10 acres of vineyard. So he's saying, you know, who knows what this is, a prophecy probably to Israel. And anyway, he's saying there's going to be so much real estate that it's going to be basically just dirt cheap. Like an ephah is probably a day's wage or something. I haven't. It says, woes for the wicked. There's some interesting stuff here. It's a parable in Isaiah. He says, woe to those, and then it starts up above about a vineyard, and he talks about end times and inhabitants. The top talks about inhabitants of Jerusalem, and then down below, he's talking about people who go to have, I don't know. It says, woe to those who join house to house to worship the Lord, house church, like maybe in the end times, who add field to field until there's no more room and you are made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. And that means there's a lot of land and not a lot of people. The Lord of hosts has sworn in my hearing, surely many houses shall be desolate, large and beautiful houses without inhabitants. For 10 acres of vineyard shall yield but one bath, and a homer of seed shall yield but an ephah. Woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they may run after strong drink, who tarry late into the evening till wine inflames them. They have lyre and harp. Okay, I'll go past that. I want to find another scripture about the end times. I don't want to waste a ton of time here. Just ephah and just bath. Let's see. The ephah. I might be chucking this pretty quick, guys. Sorry about that. I should have been prepared. I didn't know I was going to get into this. So, whatever. That's enough for that for one day. So I will move on. Let's see if there's... I'm checking something here. Sometimes... Oh, man, my phone. I'll tell you what. I was just checking. Sometimes I get texts where people help me out that I know. But I'm not asking for that. So here we go. Let's get back to work here. We wasted a heck of a lot of time there, didn't we? Yep. Okay, so let's get back to what we were talking about with the stuff about the mother of all economic dumps coming right up our railroad tracks, we'll say. So the debt-based currency system is rampantly running out. So what happened was they got everyone in so much debt. Interest rates got so low that everyone maxed out the debt, okay? And then the problem is now we haven't had involuntary repossessions of homes for 3 years. My understanding is that the mortgage delinquency is like, as of last, like April, was like 12.4%. That means 1/8 of all the mortgages, 1 out of every 8 houses that has a mortgage is in default. Because the government, you know, this is what the government does. It's so beautiful. They create COVID. They irrationally react, lie, cheat, steal, use it to destroy Trump, steal the election. You know, they do all this dirty, rotten stuff, and then they're pumping money out left and right, you know, just jamming it, pumping it, telling the government gets involved in everyone's life because, after all, it's a health crisis. You know, there's something interesting I've talked about in the past. Obama was an adherent to the Cloward and Piven strategy. You might not realize this, but Obama is the author of all this crap going on right now. He was brilliant. He's an absolute brilliant man who's very likely got some spiritual assistance from a darker side, if you know what I mean. I don't know why this thing's being... Imagine that. Here I am whining about my computer again. You imagine that? Never. I've never done that. Let's try it again. Cloward and Piven strategy. You know what's crazy about it is it was kind of hard to comprehend. You know how he had to have Obamacare? It's because it's health care. And health care gives them an excuse to do whatever they want, because everything ultimately boils down to health. And they know it. And they can control everything you do, everything you eat, you know, all this stuff. And it affects everything. Hey, you know, you got a pandemic. Everything is health. Everywhere you go, they control the schools and the stinking churches. Why would you? I understand, you know, why. I mean, people go, well, they left open pot stores and alcohol stores. Okay, fine. But, and I'll explain what I mean in a minute. But then they shut down churches and just crazy stuff and said who was and was not an essential business. Like, they, what does the government know? You know, strip clubs. And the reason I say it makes sense they left like liquor stores open and pot stores, because people are addicted. And if you don't let them have their fix, and the states get a crud load of tax income on liquor stores. I mean, it's taxed very heavily. The sin tax is mammoth. And pot, I understand, is probably worse, I think. So, you know, it's greed and it's also not making people deal with their demons during COVID. Because if there's another pandemic of people having, you know, super withdrawals and going crazy and trying to break into people's houses and stealing liquor and pot or whatever the heck it be, you know, it'd just be a catastrophe. But that's not justifying anything. It's just common sense. And it's, you know, I mean, if you're super judgmental, you're like, well, you know, they should. Well, that's why they get to live a free life and we get to live a free life. And I have a real problem with legislating morality, because it's a skewed road, you know. Oh, but we know the Lord and the Bible, and we're right. Okay. What happens when you get a majority of Muslims or another denomination or another religion or a cult, you know? I mean, you've seen what happens. You don't have to have the cult be a majority of America, because look what they've done with transgender. I mean, the most sick, awful insult to God known. Romans 1 makes it clear. I don't know if you saw the, what do you call it? Non-binary, weirdo, creepy freako that Biden had in charge of the nuclear power. The guy looks like a, like, psychotic, grotesque, like, I don't know, it is, looks non-binary. Big red lipstick like the Joker had on Batman. I mean, just sick as heck. And then he's out, he, she, it, whatever it is. He's out, she's out, stealing purses and really expensive bags at major airports. More than one. What a loser. You know, as they're, you know, representing the United States. These are the people Biden surrounds himself with. Just absolute losers. The worst of the worst. Just a mockery of our nation and mankind in general. Just an absolute farce. So the Cloward and Piven strategy is a political strategy, it says, outlined in 1966 by American sociologist and political activist Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven. Cloward and Piven were both professors at Columbia, where he went, of course. It's called The Nation titled, and it was in a magazine, that titled The Weight of the Poor, A Strategy to End Poverty. So they stated, it says, let's see, eligible for welfare, not receiving benefits, and that a welfare enrollment drive would strain local budgets, precipitating a crisis at the state and local levels that would be a wake-up call for the federal government, particularly the Democratic Party. So if you strain the local government, the state has to bail them out. And if you strain the state, the government, federal government has to bail them out. And they said particularly the Democratic Party, because they can't let their friends fail. They just write checks. It's just the most nonsensical thing I've ever heard, folks. And it says, there would also be side consequences of this strategy, according to Cloward and Piven. These would include easing the plight of the poor in the short term through the participation in a welfare system, shoring up support for the National Democratic Party. That's what they're doing. Then splintered by pluralistic interests through its cultivation of poor and minority constituencies by implementing a national solution to poverty. Well, COVID gave everyone a little taste of free money. They did that on purpose. And relieving local governments of the financially and politically onerous burdens of a public welfare through a national solution to poverty. In other words, communism. It's not local, it's all federal. Everything comes from the government. And then their strategy, and I'll try to jump through this because it's basically healthcare driven, they recommend somewhere in here. Let's see what this is. The authors pin their hopes. So let's see. This is crazy. One of their, in an article they said, conservative Republicans are always ready to declaim the evils of public welfare, and they would probably be the first to raise a hue and cry. But deeper and politically more telling conflicts would take place within the Democratic coalition. Whites, both working class ethnic groups and many in the middle class, would be aroused against the ghetto poor. White liberal groups, which until recently have been comforted by the notion that the poor are few, would probably support the movement. Yep. Group conflict, spelling political crisis for the local party apparatus. Yep. That's the critical race theory and all that, would thus become acute as welfare rolls mounted and the strains on local budgets became more severe. But then, back up here, and I'll go quick. The objective of the strategy, wipe out poverty by establishing a guaranteed annual income. Where's the money come from? Will be questioned by some because the ideal of individual social and economic mobility has deep roots. Even activists seem reluctant to call for national programs to eliminate poverty by the outright redistribution of income. These people are sick. They're college professors. They're sucking off the teat. They've never worked a day in their life. They don't understand. They live off the government because they work for the equivalent of a government. I mean, Columbia University might as well be. It's as bad as, it's just a big organization. They don't even earn money. They get all these time off. They probably work 2 hours, 4 days a week. That's how the professors end up. It's a cush-cush job. So, up here, Cloward and Piven's article on forcing the Democratic Party in 1960. I want to find the thing about health care. Big Democratic coalition remaining white middle class, working class. I already read that. Well, anyway. Create a crisis in the current welfare system by exploiting the gap between welfare law and practice. In other words, being attorneys and twisting everything like Obama and all these guys are doing now. That would ultimately bring about its collapse and replace it with a system of guaranteed annual income for all U.S. Well, it doesn't say that. It says a guaranteed annual income. Probably just for those poor people. Then people like me have to pay for it. They hoped to accomplish this end by informing the poor of their rights to welfare assistance, encouraging them to apply for benefits and become activists, in effect overloading an already overbearing overburden bureaucracy to its demise, crush America, and take all their money and make them give you money. How nutty is that? I mean, that's just madness. So let's buzz down this more. So the Fed's been trying to eliminate price inflation with a series of these rate increases. So these increases, they haven't reduced price inflation for obvious reasons. It's because rates remain at historic lows, but they've hidden the CPI from us. They haven't told us real inflation rates. It's just a crock-a-doo-doo is what it is. Oops, I expanded the screen a little too much there. So it's because these rates remain at historic lows. The rate increases have had negative economic effects, including a decline in the demand for new homes. Think about it. All these people have homes at 3%. They pay big money. They can't move. I mean, unless they're just rolling straight over, because now they got to pay 8%. No one's moving. Everything's frozen. Repos are going to hit the market. People are payment-oriented. The repo prices are going to have to tank because there's going to be a flood of inventory. The prices are going to crash. And then that's going to affect everyone else's home. Everyone's going to be upside down in their home. They're going to owe way more than it's worth. And watch the dominoes fall then. And there's, you know, everything's coming apart. There's no reason not to own gold, folks, I'll tell you that. You got a decline in the amount of new homes or demand. Increasing interest rates are making it impossible for middle and working class Americans to afford a monthly mortgage payment for even a relatively inexpensive home anymore, if there is such a thing. The main reason the Fed can't raise interest rates to anywhere near what real inflation is, if the CPI Consumer Price Index was accurate, in a free market, is the effect it would have on the federal government's ability to manage its own debt. It would just crush the economy. And J.P. Morgan, I mean, according to the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, the interest on the national debt is already on track to consume 40% of the federal budget by 2032 and will surpass defense spending by 2026. A small interest rate increase can raise our yearly federal debt interest rate payments by so many billions of dollars per day or whatever, minute, I don't know. It increases the amount of the federal budget devoted solely to servicing the debt. It's just, we're on a crash course, okay? So I could keep going on this thing. Just keep it simple, folks. This crisis is going to lead, here's my prediction. I've been wondering why they're doing this. This crisis will lead to social unrest and violence, as well as increased popularity of authoritarian movements on both the left and the right. It'll lead to government crackdowns on civil liberties, increased government control of our economy. The only good thing in the crisis will also fuel interest in the ideas of liberty. Well, you know, if you got the pendulum swinging, could potentially help bring about a return to a limited constitutional government, which is Ron Paul's fantasy. That ain't happening, folks. People are brainwashed. With Twitter and Facebook and Google and all that, people, they don't even know what the Constitution says. You go try to look it up and they have sites that tell you what it says. Or clip stuff out, you know. It's crazy. I've seen it. It's unbelievable. So people, you know, who know the truth, you have two responsibilities. You have to make necessary plans to make sure that your families can survive the forthcoming turmoil, okay? The second is to do everything you can to introduce as many people as possible to the concepts of the Constitution and liberty. You know, you just have something to say that's sensible and agreeable and harmonious, that no one will disagree with, of what freedom is. When it's like these yin-yangs that are mad at Elon Musk at Twitter. Well, how can, you know, it's awful to have free speech and yet still allow hate speech. This is what, like, some NBC reporters say. I mean, it's just so Orwellian. It's so contradictory to anything reasonable or rational. So the whole point is that social unrest. And then you've got, I was talking about the angels, you know, you got the one that announces that it's available for everyone to learn about Christ. The second one, it says, the hour of his wrath has come, and then Mystery Babylon goes down. Okay? So, that, to me, I've discussed the hour, you know, in Peter, what is it, 2 Peter 3 or whatever, I've got to remember that scripture reference. But he goes, he talks about a long, 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 long time ago, God made the heavens and the earth. And then he says, later on, by water and through water, he recreated the earth. I don't know what happened in the meantime, something happened. And then he says, and then he used, you know, and he created man and all that. Then he used the same water to destroy the earth with a flood, somehow, under the earth or whatever it was, and over it. Then he's at the time of Christ, and he already started his introduction based on that, so that's a given. That's another 2,000 years. Then he talks about the end times. And then, so that's 6,000 years from the creation of man and the reconstruction of some certain aspects of the earth. And then you got the seventh year, which God rested, etc. He says, don't let this one thing go by, that a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. So if 1,000 years is a day, the hour of his wrath is 1/24th of 1,000 years, which is like 42 years. I've been over this. It's important to me. That, and if you take that from 9/11, he says, Mystery Babylon, that is takes you to like 2043. And if you also read in Matthew 24, where Christ said, the generation that sees the regathering of Israel won't pass away till they see the coming of the Son of Man in his glory. You know, 75 years, you add that to 1967 when the UN accepted Israel, you're back at 2043. So that's what I think we're heading towards. I think we're in the final 20-year stretch. I don't know, you know, I know you're like, you don't know the day or the hour, Christ said. Yeah, but that's not the day or the hour. That's kind of the year-ish time. It's not, I'm not hanging my hat on it, but I believe it's accurate. It makes sense to me. And so that's that. So, and it would make sense that we had, you know, by the 80s, we had TV and radio and all this stuff going on. And CNN, 1981, right 20 years before, 20 years before 9/11, which is 2001. And then the third angel talks about the mark of the beast. So 20 years later, we get COVID. And we get introduced to the mark of the beast. They start taking us down that trail, and they pushed us as far as they could. And we just have so much revelation going on. It's unbelievable, folks. It's really astonishing where we're at. And I wish I had more time to talk, because I really wanted to talk more about gold. I think gold is really the only place to be. I'll bust through, you know, some thoughts, but basically the way to see it is, when the economic crisis hits, you can always count on gold. That's the gold and silver that you can, okay? It's the most historically proven form of money. It's durability, portability, fungibility, divisibility, scarcity, desirability, you know, you can keep going on the abilities. Has made it the currency, the pinnacle form of wealth for every countless civilization, for every civilized nation throughout all written human history, right? No exceptions. It's the stuff. So now all these governments have gotten to this big government garbage, this paper currency. Everything's blowing up. Governments, you know, are using taxation or inflation of taxation, all this stuff. You got the point, right? They expand the money supply. Once central banks are becoming the norm, which they already have, but they're going to the CBDC, central bank digital currency, the gold standard is just, you know, not a possibility. Anyone who tells you it is just doesn't understand the system. That was the final restraint on our government's ability to tax and spend. And they got rid of that in like 71. And it's just been runaway rampant since. So once it was lifted, governments grew like wildfire. Our government was never designed to be huge. It was designed to just be simplistic. It's the opposite of what our founders wanted and what God wants. It's big governments are dangerous. So despite the destruction of the gold standard by the governments, gold still remains very valuable and desirable, right? So as the economy continues to careen out of control, people are buying gold fast. In fact, certain financial experts I'm hearing and reading believe the incoming economic doom is going to take gold prices literally to the moon. And when I say gold, I mean gold and silver and the entire sector surrounding it. In this George Gammon's latest video, he touches on Wall Street legend, this Zoltan Pozar hyper bullish prediction for gold and all that. So anyway, gold and silver, precious metals, the only place to be, folks. They're, even if 401ks and IRAs, get out of them. I mean, just get out of them. Roll them out. You are going to pay the taxes anyway. Just do it now. Get that metal in your hands before the price blows up. Hyperinflation's coming fast. They're raising rates. The economy's going to smack down hard. You're going to have a hard time getting your metals out. I'll bet you in an IRA or 401k, it's going to get to the point where it'll be a year, year and a half, 2 years, or if you can even get a hold of the company. All these companies, I was on hold today for like 3 hours or over the last 2 days with the pharmacy. It's just corporate garbage. So 509-444-0044 in Spokane. Get your money secured now. We'll build you a wonderful portfolio. Thanks for tuning in. God bless. Bye-bye.